All right, got an announcement to make this morning. Only 65 shopping days till Christmas. You got your list prepared yet? You done any planning? Know your goals? Got your game plan? I just want you to remember, 65 shopping days till Christmas. Now, we're going to kind of shift away from that for a few minutes, but we're going to come back to that, so don't forget that. Only 65 shopping days till Christmas. All right, with that in mind, go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Those of you who have been with us recently when we've been doing some overviews of Paul's epistles, you might remember when we did Colossians, we looked at unlocking the mysteries of life. Unlocking the mysteries of life. Paul was writing to a local church where many of the people in that area were Gnostics, and the Gnostic influence, which said that there was some secret hidden knowledge that you had to be initiated into understanding, and Paul was teaching against that. And saying that we're going to find the true realities of life, the real mysteries of life are going to be open not by initiation into some secret human society, but rather by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him are all the secrets of wisdom and knowledge. And as he comes to the end of that, as we saw in many of Paul's epistles, he would begin with a doctrinal teaching, instructional teaching, and then he would move from that into a more of a practical application. We're in the practical application section here, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, to read with me. We're going to begin in verse 2. We're going to focus on verse 5, but for context, go to verse 2 of Colossians 4. Paul begins a new thought here as he's really winding down. He's going to have this little paragraph, and then he's going to greet some people as he closes. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I want you to notice, particularly a phrase there in verse 5, the very last phrase in most of our English Bibles that is translated redeeming the time. Do a little quick word study on this word redeem. There are several words in the Greek that are translated into English as the word redeem. They have basically the same meaning, but there is some difference. The particular word we're looking at here this morning is ex agorazo, we'll say it in the English. You see it there in the Greek. And it is derived from two Greek words, the prefix being ex or ek, out of. You might remember that when we studied ecclesia in 1 Corinthians, ek, that prefix meant out of, out from. And then agorazo, which is also sometimes translated redeem in our English Bible, it really carries the thought of doing business in the marketplace. You may have heard of the agora. If you've studied anything about Athens and Greece, the agora, the marketplace. So the thought there is going into the marketplace and doing business and taking something out, buying something out of the marketplace. Of course, back in that day, going to the vendors along the streets or on the street corner. Today, it may be going to the shopping mall or to a flea market or whatever. You're going to redeem something. You're going to purchase something. You're going to buy it out. Now, this particular phrase, redeeming the time, We find it two places in the New Testament. One is right here, as we've just read, obviously, Colossians 4, verse 5. The other place we find it is in another of Paul's epistles, Ephesians. We've also recently looked at Ephesians. There we entitled that, Walking While Seated. Seated in the heavenlies, but walking here on this earth, living a life here upon this earth. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, you may remember we looked at this particular these particular verses when we did our overview. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What the will of the Lord is. Now this word redeeming that we have here, we find that in both of those passages, interestingly, the only other time that we have exagorazo in our English Bible, or in the Greek New Testament, I should say, translated redeem into the English, two other times we find it in the book of Galatians, in chapter 3 and chapter 4, in both times, it speaks of the Lord Jesus doing the redeeming. In Galatians 3:13, He's redeeming us from the curse of the law. In Galatians 4, verse 5, He's redeeming those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So twice we have it of the Lord Jesus redeeming human beings, coming down into the marketplace and purchasing us out of the marketplace at the price of His blood. And two other times we have Paul using it, speaking to local churches, to believers in the church age. And he's talking there about us redeeming, us going into the marketplace and buying something out. Well, what is it that we are shopping for? If you notice there in both passages, you see that we are shopping for time. That's what we're going to be purchasing. Now, again, two words that are the most translated time in the English and out of the Greek in our New Testament. Chronos, and you'll kind of recognize that word from a chronological, a time-oriented sequence. Chronos, you probably have a watch. Maybe there are some watches out there speaking of Chronos. That's time in general. But the word that we have in Colossians 4, 5, and in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 is the second word, kairos, and it speaks of a limited portion of time, a specific portion of time. It may be an historical period, the Middle Ages, the postmodern age, the Roaring Twenties. The period of your life. And of course, it would also speak of the contemporary time in which we live. So in what sense can we go and can we buy periods of time? Now, we know that each of us have 24 hours in a day. We all have the same amount. Now, we may spend more or less of that sleeping or working or eating or whatever we do. But we all have 24 hours in a day. And we can't buy any more. We'd like to buy some time sometimes, but we can't buy any more time than we have in a day. But the thought of time, as we bring it down to a limited portion, a specific period, it also speaks to us of opportunities within that specific period of time. How we use the time that we have. How we take the opportunities that are presented for us and choose how we will purpose to use that particular period of time. And that's how we buy time. That's how we buy up opportunities. We buy it in order to spend it, we might say. We choose how to use our time. We choose how to use our opportunities. And in a sense, we purchase time during a specific period of time, we purchase it to use in one way or another. Now, what is Paul speaking of here in Colossians chapter 4? Notice back here in verse 5, he's talking about walking in wisdom toward those who are outside, walking in wisdom. Now, we've already seen, as we studied the book of Ephesians in an overview, where he mentions walk numerous times, our walk speaks of the journey of our life, our lifestyle. If somebody could recognize us by our walk, our gait, they could also recognize us, in a sense, if they knew us, by the way that we live our lives, by our lifestyles. And he's speaking here of walking in wisdom, living wisely. I've defined before wisdom as making decisions based on what the future effects of those decisions will be. In other words, saying, if I do this, then more than likely, this is going to happen. If I make this choice, this ultimately, maybe short term or maybe long term, or maybe I need to look at both, and I do, this is going to be the result of making this particular choice. There are going to be short term results, there are going to be long term results. And walking in wisdom is living our lives in such a way that we're thinking about the future effect, both in time and in eternity, of the decisions we make now. Redeeming the time. Paul mentioned that, as I said, in Ephesians chapter 5. And let me just briefly mention several things that he brings to our attention there concerning redeeming the time. One of those is that we're to walk or live circumspectly, carefully, watching your step as you walk, being careful about the decisions you make, making decisions that are wise, not foolish, not decisions that are made without reasoning, that are just made without stopping to think about what the result is going to be. And also, Paul brings out for us, then we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Makes that very clear there in Ephesians chapter 5. What does the Lord, the word Lord means master, what does the master want me to do? How does he want me to walk? How does he want me to live? Now, I may not understand the will of God. God's desire for me, God's instruction for me, I may not understand why, Lord, are you choosing what you were choosing for my life? Why are you directing me in this path? I don't understand. It's one thing not to understand why, it's something else not to understand what it is. And Paul in Ephesians 5 says you need to understand what the will of the Lord is. What is it that God wants you to do? And of course, we find that out primarily through the Scripture and taking the Word of God and applying it to our lives. So the wisest way for me to live in a specific period of time is to live as the Master desires me to live. Now in Ephesians 5, Paul gives us a motivation. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The time period in which Paul lived, the first century, the days were evil, literally hurtful and destructive. Spiritually speaking, the culture of his day was damaging when it came to spiritual life. It wasn't a culture that encouraged walking with the Lord, but rather a culture that discouraged living for the Lord. The impact was negative. Now he says here in Colossians 4, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. He emphasizes wisely taking advantage of the times in which we live in regards to a certain group of people, the ones that Paul describes here as those who are outside. So if you have the outside, then it means you have inside. And we can look at this word in the New Testament, and there are times where it is used, and most of the time it is used in a very literal sense. Peter, in Matthew 26:69, sat outside in the courtyard. He was out of the building. There were people in the building. He was outside of the courtyard. In Mark chapter 4, the Lord Jesus in verses 10 and 11 speaks to his disciples who ask him about a parable he had told. And he said, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, All things come in parables. He was speaking there of being outside of a privileged group. Now, of course, we know that those outside of that privileged group were outside because they chose to be outside. They chose not to be inside. And we find that as we come into the epistles, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, Paul said, "What have I to do with judging those who also are outside?" And there, what he obviously is speaking of is being outside of the fellowship of the local church. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 12, he brings out that same thought, speaking there of walking properly toward those who were outside. When I was a little child, we sang a song. Some of you sang it. "One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Outside and inside, on which side are you?" That door, speaking of the Lord Jesus, which takes people from outside of Christ into Christ. And Paul is saying here that those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, those who have recognized that they are sinners and separated from God and are outside of Christ, and they've recognized that Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose again, and they have received Him as Savior, they've been brought inside. Inside. And it is a great privilege to be inside. It's nothing to be proud about. It's nothing to be arrogant about, because it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. It's nothing to brag about, it's something to rejoice in. And what should my goal be, obviously, for those who are outside of Christ? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that the goal for those inside, concerning those outside, or is that those outside would come inside, that they would receive the Lord Jesus, that they would acknowledge that they are separated from God on their way to hell, that they, just like we, are all guilty before God, but that they, like we, would receive the Lord Jesus who died on the cross and shed His blood for their sins and rose again, that they might be declared right before God, that they would respond to the invitation of the Lord Jesus, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That they would come into the ark of safety. We have that ark picturing the Lord Jesus back in Noah's day, the day of the flood. That they would come in to the family of God and be born again. And Paul says, "I want you who are inside, you who have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I want you to live your life in a wise way toward those who are unbelievers. The way that you walk, the lifestyle that you live, and the way that you speak," as we read in verse 6. The way that we live can and should prompt questions from unbelievers. Because we're different. Not because we're just weird for the sake of being weird, but rather because we're applying the Word of God to our lives in the 21st century. And we believe what God said. And as they ask us questions, we should be ready, Paul says here in verse 6 of Colossians 4, we should be ready with a response that is both gracious and flavorful. That's the kind of response we should have. Now, by way of application, I'm doing things a little differently this morning, but I want to make an application this morning to a period of time. A somewhat narrower period of time that provides opportunities to be purchased. It's an annual period of time, comes around every year. It's a time that seems to lengthen every year. It's the what we call the Christmas time, the Christmas season. Once upon a time, the season began in December, and then it backed up to the day after Thanksgiving, and now the day after Halloween, there are going to be plenty of decorations in all the stores. And you know what? November 1st is only 11 days away. 65 shopping days till Christmas. 65 days to buy up the opportunities that specifically come with this time known as Christmas time. Brother Joji Epen was sharing yesterday at the men's breakfast about the judgment seat of Christ. And one of the areas that he pointed out is going to be addressed are what he called morally debatable matters and how I reacted toward other believers in these areas that aren't specifically addressed by the Scripture, in which we apply the Scripture and come out with different conclusions. And one of those he mentioned as an illustration was Christmas. He pointed out that we're never commanded to celebrate Christmas. We also are never told not to celebrate Christmas. And whether you celebrate Christmas as Christmas or choose not to celebrate Christmas because you would sense it being a pagan holiday, depending on your conviction, whatever that personal conviction is, it's wise to be aware that our culture and much of the world today recognizes this specific season. And if this specific time period would provide for us opportunities to buy up for evangelism, but I would encourage us to do that. And I would suggest that there are an abundance of opportunities. Opportunities to live wisely toward unbelievers, particularly as it relates to spreading the gospel, both in what we do and what we say. Opportunities that are often overlooked in the busyness of the season. The days are evil. The days are destructive. And you know what? The season of Christmas can be destructive spiritually as well as beneficial. I'm suggesting this morning that Christmas gives us an opportunity to buy up for evangelism, for sharing the gospel, opportunities that are not available in the same way during the rest of the year. And you say, well, Mark, it's October. But like I said, 11 days until November 1st. You know what? I have to be honest with you. Here's my normal experience about December 24th. One of the experiences is this. Man, I should have bought Christmas presents earlier. But you know what the other one is? Man, I've had so many opportunities that if I'd have been aware of it ahead of time, I could have taken advantage of buying up those opportunities for the Lord for evangelism, but I wasn't thinking about it. How many times have those of us who know the Lord Jesus walked away from a conversation and said, wow, I could have said this. What an opening for that for the Lord. So I want to encourage those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior now. 11 days before the world even begins to call it a season and try to sell us anything, that we stand back and say, I want to be wise in the way that I live my life all the time, buying up the opportunities, but I'm going to think about specific ways that I can walk toward unbelievers more wisely and expose them to the gospel message, which can truly make their season, their lives, and their eternity bright. How can we employ the uniqueness of the Christmas season to share the gospel with those who are outside? Even those of us who are not evangelists by gift or by nature, but we know the Lord Jesus, and we want to share the gospel. Great opportunities. Great opportunities. It may require a shift in our mindsets. But we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Those who are outside, I want you to watch. I got several video clips we're going to look at this morning. You may watch them more than you hear me the rest of the time. We'll see how our time goes. But think about this Christmas prayer from someone in Asia praying for us in the United States.
Dear Lord, this Christmas I pray for my fellow Christians in the West. I pray you bless their jobs and provide for their needs. I pray they can have peace and joy in this busy season. I pray they can spend more time with one another as a family. And I ask they remember the true meaning of Christmas. Show them that together we can deliver hope to this dying world. We can build wells for those without clean water. We can help the widows and the abandoned children. We can take the message of Christ to almost 3 billion who haven't heard your name. I pray, my fellow Christians, remember us as we remember them. With their help, we can change the world. Amen.
Early Christmas shopping. I've got 10 ways. I don't have time to say hardly anything about these 10 things. I'm going to say them very quickly. Some of them I'll spend a little bit more time on. 10 ways that I'd like to suggest that we can buy up opportunities. Do early Christmas shopping, and all through the season, we can buy up opportunities walking wisely toward those who are outside who don't know the Lord Jesus. They're very simple. First is giving. We think about that at Christmas anyway. I want to start out by, and these are suggestions. You're going to need discernment from the Holy Spirit. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God lives within you, and He will guide you in the way that this should impact your life and your family. But I want to encourage you to consider simplifying at Christmas. Consider downsizing even, and redirecting money into buying up opportunities at Christmas. What an opportunity to teach our children what Paul said, the Lord Jesus said. Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Looking for opportunities to give gifts that are Christ-centered or spiritually edifying. Unbelievers in our lives to give a gift like a Bible or the Case for Christ or a DVD that could prompt some interest in spiritual things. To give a believer a gift that would build him or her up in the faith, to challenge, encourage, and that they will be a stronger witness in walking toward those who are outside. Maybe giving homemade gifts or coupons for a service that you might take that money you would have spent and put it toward a specific use for the gospel. This is another little DVD clip here made by a group called Gospel for Asia. And they make one every year, and this is the one for this year. It's about 3.5 minutes long, I'll go ahead and tell you. But I want you to notice something that I didn't catch the first time I saw this. Notice where the people who are wanting a Bible are in relation to what we're saying this morning, inside and outside.
Last year, over $500 billion was spent on Christmas, while half of the world had yet to hear O Christ's name. This year, let's make a difference. If we give just 1% of $500 billion, we could build more than 400,000 churches overseas. Or supply clean water to everyone in India, Nepal, and Sri Lanka. Or even give a Bible to every person around the world. This year, share Christ and change the world one gift at a time.
Giving. I encourage you to consider that. Maybe downsizing if that's how the Lord leads you. And taking those funds, and I saw a Christmas movie one time about a guy who decided to not have Christmas so that he could go on a cruise. Now we're talking about possibly, I'm not saying don't give gifts, I'm not saying don't have Christmas at all. That's not my point. My point is, how would God lead us individually in possibly taking some of the money we would maybe spend on Christmas, redirecting it to missionaries through Christian missions for many lands or other ministries for which the Lord has burdened your heart that you've been praying about and maybe have come to your heart through meditating on His Word. Local needs, the poor, the homeless, widows, orphans, those in the hospital and nursing homes, those are imprisoned, single parents. What an opportunity. There are catalogs if you want to think about helping overseas. Gospel for Asia has one. Samaritan's Purse has one where you can actually buy Bibles and things like that and practical gifts too to help others overseas. So giving. But let's hurry on through several others. Singing. Singing. We all love Christmas songs. There are many secular songs and they're growing in number, but there are also many carols. And a lot of the carols that we sing have good messages in them. Not all of them, but many of them do. And you know, what an opportunity. We already do caroling to shut-ins. But what an opportunity. Maybe some here in this room, you're going to look like Linus up there trying to sing. Maybe you look like these other folks. But getting together with some individuals or a group and going to sing to unbelievers. Going down through a neighborhood and singing from yard to yard and taking maybe a little goodie bag with some cookies and gospel tracts and literature in there, sharing the gospel as we go. Another way to do that, talking. Some of us like to talk more than others. But you know, we have a lot of opportunity for conversations during Christmas. It may be with someone serving us, maybe with a cashier, maybe standing in one of those long lines that we find at Christmas. Maybe just asking some conversational questions. Do you celebrate Christmas? If they say yes, well, what about Christmas do you celebrate? Seeking to carry that conversation into a spiritual direction. They might say no. Ask them, why don't you? Or what do you celebrate? Again, looking for an opportunity to talk about Christmas. Maybe ask, how is Christmas going for you? A lot of people aren't really that jolly around the Christmas time. Maybe it'll open up some doors. You might can ask them, well, what experience have you had with Christianity? Get some feedback. Where are they? And move forward. And maybe if they say, well, yeah, I go to church and we celebrate Christmas. Maybe ask them, well, how does your church deal with the sin problem? It's a good question I came across this week. A good way. How does your church deal with the sin problem that we sinned against God? See what they say and see if that conversation will carry you on. So let's, and also just conversations with our family members. I'd encourage if you have young children, young grandchildren, begin some Christmas traditions, an Advent calendar that will every day give some opportunities to talk specifically about the Lord. Our family, we use what we call a Jesse tree. You can ask my wife about that. She'll tell you again every day looking at the Christmas story beginning at Genesis and working our way through the birth of the Lord Jesus. Having conversations with the fellow believers, sharing ideas and experiences and encouraging. Another way to buy up opportunities is by sending Christmas cards and sending cards not only to believers, that's good, it's encouraging and great greetings, but also to those who are outside, unbelievers. Think about what the card says before you send it. Put a gospel track in there with a Christmas theme. Think about what it says and think about what you write. God can use those things in lives. Another way to do some early Christmas shopping is through sharing. We mentioned gospel tracts. The chapel here will soon have out a good supply of Christmas-themed gospel tracts. People are very receptive to those during the Christmas season. Again, read through those tracts first and pray for opportunities and share gospel tracts and share the Scripture. The Christmas story or a Christmas reading that brings in the gospel at family gatherings and other times that we're together for different Christmas fellowship. A sixth way is by wearing. Some of you have done this in the past, and I think we're going to be getting some of these pins. This is the one for this year, a little pin you can wear that says, "Merry Christmas, Jesus, He came for you." Some people are going to get away from you, but some people might say, "What do you mean by that? Or where'd you get that? Or what's that all about?" A good way to spread the gospel by wearing. Another way, a little more contemporary, is posting or something. I say more contemporary, not necessarily more contemporary than these other things, but something that we didn't have so much in the past, and that's posting. Posting on the internet. If you're a computer and or internet savvy, then you might want to put online greetings and include the Lord Jesus. Maybe look for an opportunity to put the gospel or a little thought in a post or a status update or linking. A linking an update or a status to videos and websites that will bring out the gospel. Sending e-cards and even in a blog. Encourage you to look for ways to buy up those opportunities. And then by visiting. You know, it's a great time at Christmas to reach out to neighbors that maybe you don't normally have connection with. Going over to visit them or inviting them to your home. Maybe taking a simple gift of some cookies or a little loaf of homemade bread or an ornament or a gospel booklet. And seeking to use that as an opportunity to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Redeeming the time, buying up the opportunities. 65 shopping days left till Christmas. 65 days to buy up the opportunities that are unique to the Christmas season that can allow us who know the Lord Jesus to share the gospel with others. Inviting people you know to a special Christmas event here at Shannon Hills. We have our Christmas program. The kids, the adults have a choir presentation. There are many others in the community, live nativities, or maybe inviting people to your house. Having a party where you're specifically going to take advantage of the gathering of some of those who are outside, as maybe well as some of those who know the Lord, to read the Christmas story. Or a devotional, or share the gospel as appropriate. One other way I want to mention this morning, and that's packing. And that's through Operation Christmas Child. We do this every year here at Shannon Hills. We make available, and we've got information out on the table today about Operation Christmas Child and the shoeboxes. And I'm going to show a quick video here, I believe. Let's see what comes up. No? Yeah. No. Not yet. Hang on. I'm going to get it. I know it's about time to go, but maybe we're going to get it. Maybe we're not going to get it. Kind of lost it here. Well, maybe I can show this at a different time because I am not coming up with it. It's supposed to pop up and it's not popping up. Everything else is popping up. Okay, well, we won't be able to see it today, but our time's up anyway. But I want to encourage you in Operation Christmas Child. There are some little flyers, things that you can put on the shoebox. Basically, you're taking a shoebox, filling it up with little small gifts and items that a child who would not get a present otherwise, and they're taking these to, I think, over 130 countries now around the world. And with that, they're going to also receive a gospel booklet. And they're going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And someone who knows the Lord, who's on the inside, is going to make sure that they get to that child and be able to share the good news of how they can come through that one and only door, the Lord Jesus, to be on the inside. So maybe we can show that little clip on another Sunday. But I want to encourage again, this requires discernment through being in the Word of God, through prayer, through being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But the challenge is to buy up opportunities. And I want to encourage you to start early this year. I want to start early this year. You keep me accountable. You check up on me and say, Mark, how are you doing at buying up those opportunities? To take advantage of those 65 days to buy up specifically opportunities where we can walk wisely toward those who are without as it regards this season of the year that God is giving us many witnessing opportunities. So we'll close in prayer. Thank you for your attention this morning. And I trust that these things will be used by the Lord. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we'd like to share the gospel even more clearly with you. We'd love to do that after the meeting. Please grab me or someone here that you know, and we would count that a great privilege to let you know how to come inside to be in the Lord Jesus and to be forgiven of your sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. It's been a great blessing to be here, to sing, to pray, to fellowship, and to look into your word. Lord, we've been reminded from what you prompted Paul to write by the Holy Spirit, that we need to be careful to live our lives wisely toward those who are unbelievers. And Father, we need to buy up every opportunity, all 365 days of the year. But Father, we know that there are unique opportunities that come with the Christmas season, and we want to be wise to buy up those opportunities, to purchase them for use in the gospel. Lord, whether we are redirecting some of our financial blessings to where those in other parts of the world may hear the gospel, or those locally might be helped. And Father, if we can have the opportunity, might we do that personally, that we might personally share the gospel with those whom we're helping. But if not, Father, we pray that you will provide people in their lives who are buying up the opportunities. Father, help us to take the different things that are presented during this time of year and to share with others the good news that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, God in the flesh, and has died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Father, that He was buried, but that He was also raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. Father, help us to be wise in the way that we live. Help our lives to be different. Father, help our lives to prompt questions and help us to be ready with a gracious and flavorful answer to those who are outside. Father, I thank you for any here this morning who don't know the Lord Jesus. I pray that you will convict their hearts of sin today. I thank you for each one who is saved. Father, that we will take anew this responsibility, this challenge to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Thank you. Father, empower us to do this by the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it in our own strength. We're weak. We thank you that your strength is made perfect in weakness. Thank you for your grace that not only saves, but also equips and enables. And we pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you walk in wisdom.